Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome, everybody, to the Water Cooler. Thanks for being here. I'm David Brody. It is Tuesday, May 18, 2021, and we all woke up this morning in Joe Biden's America. We here at the Water Cooler have a name for it, folks. Joe Biden has now given new meaning to the term Operation Warp Speed. This 100 plus days has been more like a rapid decline into the abyss, so we call it Operation Warp Speed for America quickly into the toilet. Thank you very much. Now, this is only an hour show. I can't list all the ways we spiral to this point. However, I want to quickly run through a few things. First of all, an out-of-control energy crisis. A labor crisis where people are more content to sit home, eat ice cream, wait for the unemployment check. Spending out of control. New concerns about inflation. A consumer price index showing prices surging 4.2% from last year. Tax hikes coming. A Middle East crisis. Did I bury the lead? Where Joe Biden remains silent on the anti-Semitic rhetoric from his party. There's a cultural crisis that includes encouraging transgender boys competing against girls in sports. You've got pro-abortion rules and executive orders run amok, and a Department of Education pushing critical race theory. All of this collectively adds up to an Operation Warp Speed that sinks America into the toilet. Thank you. Now, on the show today, we will discuss Biden's America plus. Kevin McCarthy says no to this commission that plans to investigate what happened on January 6th. We're going to get reaction to that. Plus, Dr. Fauci admitting today that the CDC guidance on going maskless has led to confusion. Yeah, tell us something we didn't know already. We'll have a closer look. And a Christian student at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, fighting back against the COVID vaccine. She's claiming a religious exemption. She and her lawyer will be here to discuss. But first, want to discuss Biden's America and a whole lot more with our first guest. U.S. Congresswoman Mary Miller is here with us in studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I've got to ask you about Kevin McCarthy first off. He said no, we're not. Mm-hmm. He's not in favor of this commission. What's your view on the commission?
Well, from what I know about it, it's going to give unelected bureaucrats outrageous power, subpoena power. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to use it to further smear Republicans. It's going to be bipartisan. We've had these other commissions going forward. We've been 4 months, and Nancy Pelosi has not been forthright with information. And I think we need an investigation into her. Mm-hmm. And there are rumors that she knew that there was going to be something going on that day. She didn't want to have adequate police or National Guard there. Mm-hmm. So I think we should turn the table and start requiring some answers out of her.
You know, that's really interesting. You kind of read my mind on that, because that was kind of be my second question. Yeah. But I do want to follow up on that, which is everybody's talking about, especially in the media. You know, what did McCarthy talk to Trump about and all this stuff in January 6th, and kind of like a Republican bashing. But indeed, where is this commission going to investigate anything that Nancy Pelosi? I mean, Nancy Pelosi is the head of the U.S. House, right, if you will. Wouldn't Capitol Police have come to her? And she must have some information, too.
Well, she doesn't. She hasn't been forthright. Plus, they've been propagating all these lies. I mean, they said, I don't know how many they said were killed at the scene. They acted like there was weapons there. There were no weapons there. Mm-hmm. I mean, even my husband, he drove me out here to be sworn in with my family. Mm-hmm. And they were at the rally with President Trump. And my husband said never once did violence cross his mind. Mm-hmm. Now, I was there, but I had to leave early to go to the House floor. And I want to say I got a ride. And when I arrived, now, President Trump hadn't spoken yet.
Okay.
But when I arrived at the Capitol, there was already a group there around the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They were already there. And, you know, they've arrested people. It's outrageous. They have not had a trial. They have not had bond set. They are in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. And in D.C., there are criminals that are tried and found guilty and released. Mm-hmm. These people have not had you know, the ability to defend themselves or put up bond. And even my husband, he has been accused by Illinois Democrats of leading the insurrection. He was required to show up in front of the inspector at Springfield, because he's a legislator there.
Yeah.
And they were accusing him of leading the insurrection. And he, one of the things he pointed out to them, he goes, my wife for 41 years was in there. Why would I lead an insurrection?
Right.
But they're just grasping at straws. They're trying to deflect from how they are dismantling our country, our great country, the most free and prosperous nation that's ever existed in the world. That is their goal.
Let me ask you a little bit about Nancy Pelosi, while we're on the subject of Nancy Pelosi. This mask stuff that she's talking about, everybody still needs to wear masks. Wait a minute, she's I'm missing this. She's going against the CDC guidance, basically. I thought we're supposed to follow the science.
Well, she's just a power-hungry, I don't want to say bad
fill in
names
the blank.
On that. Yeah. But all of us, first of all, the Senate isn't wearing masks. All of us are interacting without masks. Now you see you know, all the employees on elevators, whatever, they don't have masks on. So why do we have to put a mask on there? It's a sign of being under her thumb.
Very interesting.
And there's a $500 fine the first time you don't wear it, $5,000 the next time. But I can tell you the Republicans are ready to blow gasket about it.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Well, we'll follow up on that for sure. Biden's America, we talked about it at the top of the show. What's the most concerning part of all of this for you? I mean, there's so much to go through. I mean, gas prices, got a labor shortage, got unemployment. I mean, what's most concerning to you? I mean, I'm sure it's all concerning, but what's being talked about in your district? What's happening there?
Okay. The most concerning thing to me is that their agenda is one thing, and it is dismantling what Trump did. That was great for our country. America First was a fantastic agenda. It's still the right agenda. And day one, it didn't matter how good it was for the American people. Biden was about undoing it. For example, the Keystone Pipeline.
Right.
11,000 jobs left. That's 11,000 households. Real life people that were affected. And he didn't even act like he cared. He was like, well, they can get another job putting together a windmill or something. I don't even know what it.
Right.
But, I mean, he doesn't care. So the thing that concerns me is that instead of America First, it's America Last, just like the borders. It is outrageous. This is the first time in the history of our country that we have had a president, the man that took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution and our laws, that he is ignoring and promoting to ignore our immigration laws. The American people have the right to know who's coming across our border and why. And we know that they're bringing in, there are some people that are coming because they've been duped, which I feel really bad for them. And they advertise for this. I mean, he's bearing the fruit of what he did. But we know that there's drug cartels. I mean, it's a fact. The gangs are coming in, they're trafficking women and children, terrorists are coming across. Plus, they've shut us all down for a year for health reasons, for COVID. Now they want to require COVID passports. They don't care about a passport at the border. I think I read 30% of the people coming across are COVID positive. They're smashing them in facilities that aren't built for the numbers of people. They're putting them in as fast as they can. They're putting them on buses and planes, and they're moving them into the interior of our country. Every state is a border state. Now, Illinois is a sanctuary state, so of course we just like widely open the doors. But the American people are waking up, and I'm here. I'm a regular person that ran for office, and I'm excited because I want to motivate regular people to look for their opportunities, because otherwise our country will cease to exist. And I'm the mom of seven, grandma 17, and I care about our children and grandchildren. I appreciate the opportunities that we've, you know, we appreciate the opportunities we've had. Number one, I want our kids and our grandkids to recognize the country that we grew up in. I want them to have the same opportunities that we've had to pursue the American dream. So, you know, they're just, number one, dismantling everything, whether it's, and President Trump was so courageous, and he did things that should have been done for so long, and that's their whole agenda, is dismantling it. They despise him because he was for our country, and they are, they're just about one world government, I think.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, when you say they despise him, that, I mean, you don't need to fact check that, folks. I mean, that is true, 100%. They would probably even potentially admit that, or maybe they won't. I've got about a minute left, but I got to ask you about the vaccine passports. And I put this in air quotes because I got to tell you, here on the show, we call it the vaccine papers, the papers. Because if you say, can I see your papers, that has a whole different connotation. I mean, what kind of America are we going to start to live in here? This is very scary.
It's scary, but I think American people need to recognize how much fear can motivate you. It can motivate you maybe to do something good, but to do something bad. And they have been selling fear all year. And just like James O'Keefe got CNN to admit on secret tape that they put that death count in the corner and they were laughing about it because they wanted to keep people fearful. And now they said their next agenda is climate change fear. Mm-hmm. And they want to keep us fear because they can control us that way. Mm-hmm. And I want to say fear is from Satan. I'm a Christian. Yep. Fear is an attribute of Satan and he uses it to motivate us to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, listen, you don't have to convince me of that. I 100% agree with you on that. And it just seems like crisis after crisis.
Yes.
You know, if never let a good crisis go.
Yeah.
The labor crisis. Wait, yeah. I got 30 seconds.
People in my district are lamenting they can't. Yeah. Not get help. And I want to let you know that there's a bill coming forward from the Republicans that people have to reapply for unemployment. And if their job is still there, their unemployment is over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of states are moving forward with that.
So. Congresswoman Mary Miller, we got to have you back. You have a lot to say. And
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Congresswoman Mary Miller, which, by the way, let's just be very clear. The founders talked about this in the founding of this country, a government run by citizens.
Yeah.
Mary Miller, right here, a citizen of the United States. That's what we want. Regular people. We're back in a moment here on The Water Cooler.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to The Water Cooler, everybody. We knew this was going to come. We knew with COVID-19 and the vaccinations, if there are going to be people that decide to stay unvaccinated, there will be some that say, hey, religious exemption. Well, here we go. Here's a headline in the Christian Post. A Christian student fights back against university's vaccine mandate, cites, there it is, religious exemption. We want to discuss more of this with our next guest. Keisha Russell is the counsel at First Liberty Institute who is representing Jackie Gale, who is also with Keisha. She is the student at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, at the center of all of this. Jackie, Keisha, thanks for joining us here on The Water Cooler.
Thank you for having us on. Thank you.
Well, Jackie, let me start with you. Tell me a little bit about some of the background here as to what happened. Obviously, I know you can go on and on with a lot of details, but kind of give us the Reader's Digest version of why we're here in the first place. What happened exactly?
So recently, I finished my first year. I was allowed to live on campus, attend classes. Well, we didn't have many in-person classes, but I was allowed to do everything the students are allowed to do right now. And then I was told, I looked on the website and I had a hold of my record from not having immunizations.
Right.
And I was told that my religious exemption only was valid K through 12 and it was not valid for my college experience.
Okay, so apparently you weren't able to register for classes, though they've lifted that right now temporarily. What's happening here?
Yeah, so the university has lifted the hold. We're still in ongoing conversation with them at First Liberty and waiting for them to really confirm that she's not going to have this issue again. They did allow her to register all last year during her freshman year, and then all of a sudden now in February, they place a hold in her account and tell her she can't register, although they've lifted it now. So we're trying to get them to confirm that they do honor religious exemptions, put that in their policy, a written policy, just like they acknowledge medical exemptions, they need to acknowledge the religious liberty exemptions too. And we want to make sure she's not going to have this problem throughout her experience at UAB.
Keisha, is this a legal fight right now, or is this just a conversation at the conversation stage?
Well, we're at the conversation stage, but you know, we're at First Liberty always willing to sue on behalf of our clients if we need to, in order to get them the treatment that they are required to get under the law, and that is that religious exemptions are treated the same way as the secular exemptions. The university, in writing, acknowledges a medical exemption, and they need to, in writing, acknowledge a religious exemption too. And treat it the exact same way so that Jackie and others don't have to continue.
Well, Jackie, so you've had a religious exemption, right? In the past, I mean, you went to public school. Did you go to public schools then in Alabama? How did this work beforehand? Because you haven't been vaccinated on other diseases, if you will, as well.
Yes, I have not had any childhood vaccines, and the exemption worked for when I went to public schools.
Right. Okay. So, but in this case, you're saying they're obviously giving you a problem. Tell us a little bit about people want to understand why you would decide not to get the vaccine from a religious exemption standpoint. I think there are many folks that do this around the country, and there are certain reasons why they claim a religious exemption. What is your reasoning behind it, Jackie?
I believe that God wants me to be healthy, and I don't want to put those kind of chemicals and toxins inside my body. And I also recently found out that in vaccinations, aborted fetus cells are made to make that vaccine. They are put in there. So I'd be putting that in my body. And I just had a conviction before I even learned that, I had a conviction that God wouldn't want me to put that in my body, any of the childhood vaccines, anything like that.
Right, for sure. And Keisha, I would think, I mean, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but this feels like a case or a type of case that would be ripe for climbing up the judiciary ladder, potentially even to the Supreme Court, because, I mean, this, you know, what is it about exactly? This is religious discrimination, in essence, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're looking at now is sort of the foundation of, again, COVID being used to treat religious people differently than others. And just like you saw with churches being closed, but casinos and strip clubs and liquor stores being allowed to remain open, you're going to see the same sort of thing where people who want religious exemptions to vaccines are being treated differently than people who have secular exemptions. So people like who have medical exemptions and they can't get these vaccines, the risks are still the same, right, for anyone who isn't vaccinated. So that means that university, any government official, an institution, they're all supposed to treat religious exemptions in this exact same manner. So provided they don't, First Liberty will be there. And if anyone else encounters it, they need to find us at firstliberty.org and we can help them out.
Jackie, have you experienced some, I guess the word would be harassment or some people that are coming out against you because of this? Or has this been an online situation where you haven't had to be necessarily on a campus? I don't know the specifics of it.
I don't think this has gotten out enough for people to, or maybe I just haven't looked online. I haven't received any harassment over this.
Yeah, I'm also curious, Jackie, about the fact that at first you weren't allowed to sign up for classes, and then they finally said, okay, you can, but didn't that mess you up? Because, I mean, I've got a college student who, if you don't get in time, you're going to not get some courses that you need to get in to make sure you either graduate on time or keep your schedule the way it needs to be.
So I may or may not get some classes that I, or at least some core classes that I wanted to this year. But First Liberty said they would help out. They would make sure that I was heard. And if there was any core classes that I needed this year, any prerequisites, mm-hmm. that they would contact UAB about that and help me out to get those classes.
Sounds good. And Keisha, real quick, I got 20 seconds, but the University of Alabama, Birmingham, what's your sense? Do you think they're going to dig in here? They haven't, what, until May 27th to get back to you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're in ongoing discussion. So what we want right now is for them to confirm Jackie's not going to have this problem again, and that they will add the religious exemptions explicitly in their policy. And we're hoping that they'll do that. So we'll see what happens. If not, then we're prepared to take the next step in litigation if necessary.
Keisha Russell at First Liberty and Jackie, really appreciate you both being with me today. Thank you so much for sharing the story. Great stuff. And look, I think this is the first of many, many situations like this to crop up across the country. We'll be on top of it here at the Water Polo. Back up.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Hey, here's someone we haven't talked about in a while. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. Should we get a live look, Madison? Can we get a live look as to where Cuomo is right now? There he is. Hey, he is still in the doghouse. That doesn't look like the governor's mansion, but in essence, it kind of is for Andrew Cuomo. And here's why we're talking about Mr. Cuomo. The Just the News headline, New York Governor Cuomo's book deal was worth a whopping $5.12 million. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. That's not a typo, right? No, how can a whole headline be a typo? So he's getting, what, $5 million? Okay, maybe less after taxes. For what? Botching the nursing home scandal? Anyhow, don't get me started. But Jerry Kasser might get started right now. He is the New York State Conservative Party chairman. Jerry, good to see you here on the Water Cooler.
Good to see you as always, David. Very good. Thank you.
Jerry, I believe, and I don't know if it's hyphenated, but this is where I say oi gavolt. I don't think it's hyphenated, but why don't you give us your reaction up there to the fact that Cuomo is going to make some money off of this book, quite a bit of money.
So believe it or not, we've been criticizing him for months because we thought he was going to make $3 million off the book. Now it turns out it's $5.12 million. Even the part where he's giving a couple hundred thousand to COVID relief is a tax deduction for him. Any way you look at this, the deal seems extraordinarily overly generous before you get to the fact he's essentially advertising himself as a leader based on his activities during COVID, where so many people died due to his mismanagement. Some headlines have called the money he's making on this book blood money. I'm not, I don't want to use such terminology, but if others want to use it, I do suspect that many will draw the conclusion that this is one of the worst deals we've seen a politician make ever for earning money off a book. But then again, he also used state resources to get the book done. So I suppose from his perspective, any way you look at it, it all came out, good for Governor Cuomo until he got caught.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about any criminal. He got caught.
Well, let's put up the book title again, shall we? Because this is kind of ironic, isn't it? American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. They might want to say leadership lessons from the COVID-19 pandemic. And oh, by the way, how to make a great buck. On a crisis, because that's what it is. So Jerry, what should he do here? I mean, he's saying he's given some money to the United Way. He's saying what? He's got some money there for his kids in a trust fund. I don't know what's going on with the money.
Well, if you want to play the numbers, it was $500,000 to charity, which I said, as I said, he gets a deduction. It's $1 million in trust funds for his kids. The rest of it goes to him. But I mean, I think one would argue that the money that goes to his children is part of his world. I mean, the bottom line is the book should have American Crisis. The rest of the word should be gone, and there should be an arrow pointed at his head because he is the American crisis. The book reads page for page per page, lie after lie after lie. Mm-hmm. There was a crisis, and he did nothing to, as proven now, to get us out of the crisis. He's a horrible governor, and the book is an indictment of him.
So, Jerry, let me ask you a straight-up question. Has he weathered any sort of storm as it relates to his governorship and the calls for impeachment and also all of the sexual harassment allegations? We haven't heard much of a peep nationally. It just seems like the liberal media has ADHD, and they're just moving on to something else.
Well, I mean, we're about to get a report. We're about to get a report from the Attorney General relating to the sexual harassment allegations. There was a referral made 3 weeks ago to the Attorney General by the state controller concerning the use of state resources on this book. And there is an active investigation for an impeachment by the state assembly, which I have some questions about. I feel that, you know, if they used the Pelosi method, they could have indicted Cuomo six times over by now. But, you know, they seem to be taking all the time in the world. But regardless, you know, you really have to feel that, you know, the end is coming for Governor Cuomo, whether the mainstream media covers it or not. I just feel that he is about to face a whole new wave of problems as everything becomes official against him.
So when you say the end is coming, are you referring to this report that is expected to drop soon?
Yeah, I mean, there's been numerous interviews with the individuals who've accused him of sexual harassment. I mean, we've heard what they've had to say because they're not really quiet about it. I do not really see how the governor survives that report. And there's also the investigation, which is part of all of this in different aspects, concerning how his staff has made it very clear that they were involved in a cover-up to the state government, to the public, to the federal government on data. So what leads directly to him? What rolls around him? What involves state resources? What involves sexual assault? I mean, it is hard to believe that any honorable person would allow himself to remain in government, joking around often about what he's been up to, and think he's going to get away with this. I just find this him to be despicable.
And meanwhile, while we're on the topic of Cuomo, by extension, the folks that are leaving New York, I wanted to get your comments about that because, I mean, there's this new report that apparently, I'm not sure the exact figure, but tens of thousands of people leaving New York, going to Florida and lots of different things. What's the status? To me, at least, you've got liberal policies in New York and that state and that city have just been decimated.
Well, I mean, it's very easy to conclude if you have any level of mobility that you're going to want to leave the state. And if you're out of the state, it's very easy to conclude you're never going to come back. I mean, it's about taxes, the general environment, crime, you know, transportation, insurance. Everything is on steroids here, and those steroids are not making it better, I'll tell you that. So I can, you know, plus there's always been a link with New York, with Florida. So there's, you know, many people have homes there to begin with. So, I mean, I just do not see how this government could have such blinders on. You know, I mean, to have to convince the mayor of the city of New York that you needed more police on the subways is pretty scary, that it took such a long time to convince him. And then they want us to talk about money for tourism to help bring people back. If they give the money to the cops, they put more police on the street, they make the street safer. Actually, yeah. Tourism is more likely to come back than doing an advertisement of Statue of Liberty.
Right, Jerry Kasser. Really appreciate your time. New York State Conservative Party Chairman. Thanks, Jerry. Great stuff.
Oh, you're always welcome, Dave. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jerry, fighting a good fight in the state of New York. All right, when we come back, the CDC, Fauci, masks. And here's a word for you that applies to all of that. Confusion. I'm confused. Back in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. All right, so I'm confused. just ask my wife and family. They'll tell you, yeah, tell us something we don't know. But no, really, I'm confused about the whole CDC mask guidance. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, so if you're, let me get this straight. I'm trying to understand. So if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you're unvaccinated, you have to wear a mask. So if you go into a business, then what? I mean, the local clerk at Walgreens is going to say, excuse me, sir, are you vaccinated or unvaccinated? I mean, in other words, if you don't have a mask on, are they going to start asking? The whole thing's so confusing. Anyhow, Dr. Anthony Fauci, a renowned expert, I'm sorry, insert joke there, had this to say on ABC's Good Morning America.
It's perfectly reasonable and understandable for the owner of that establishment to say, you know, we're going to keep the mask mandate up. And that's what we're seeing. And I think that's causing the confusion because some are maintaining a mask mandate and others are not.
Well, he's talking about local businesses. I mean, what's a local business owner to do? You know, first of all, here's what we don't want to have happen. Well, you know what? Before I even get in there, can we just bring in Dr. Tom Borelli, a contributor at Real America's Voice? Tom, good to have you on the show, by the way.
Hey, David, great to be on with you. First time.
This is the debut episode. Let's make it go viral. No, I don't know. Oh, viral. Hey, we're talking about COVID. I guess virus. All right.
There you go.
All right. So, Tom, help me through this because, I mean, I don't want the Walgreens clerk asking me for my vaccine papers if I don't have a mask on. I mean, what in the world are businesses supposed to do here? This is crazy stuff.
Well, David, I think the big problem here is basically the CDC and Dr. Fauci that sent so many messages over such a long period of time that everybody's confused. So don't be ashamed that you're confused. Sometimes I even get confused and have somewhat training in this area. The problem again is their guidance has been all over the place and they're essentially punting the footballs, so to speak, to small business owners to let them figure it out. They want, unfortunately, the small business owner to be the cop on the block. And what kind of business owner wants to be asking those questions to customers? Because there's a good chance a customer, either at a restaurant or a small other business, will say, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else because they're feeling hassled. But at the end of the day, most recently, the CDC has been overly cautious. And I'm glad they pulled back the mask mandate for people who are vaccinated. Oh, by the way, that's the whole purpose of the exercise. You get the vaccine so you can't get the infection. That was the purpose of the exercise. And they were really concerned that even though you got vaccinated, maybe you could get infected, not to a degree that you would get sick, but to a degree where you might be able to transmit it to somebody else, even though you were vaccinated. But the most recent CDC review says that's not a problem now. So if you're fully vaccinated, you really don't have to wear a mask.
Okay, so let me understand this for a second. So if someone is unvaccinated, I mean, first of all, if you're vaccinated and you're around someone that's unvaccinated, technically, still, you can't really, I mean, overall, your chances are still extremely low of getting COVID, right? Because you're vaccinated, even if you're around someone unvaccinated, right? Or am I missing that?
No, that's right. So what the CDC was concerned wasn't so much of the unvaccinated person infecting the vaccinated person, because the vaccine itself is about 94-95% effective, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. What they were concerned about was the fact that even though if I'm vaccinated, I still might have virus load in my nose, even though I don't feel sick. My immune system is stopping me from getting sick. But in theory, I could transmit it to an unvaccinated person. And that was the recent decree. They don't think that's a big problem at all. They think that risk of a vaccinated person infecting an unvaccinated person essentially to be minimal.
Yeah, but then they want the unvaccinated person to wear a mask and the vaccinated person doesn't have to wear a mask. So how does that sound? That makes no sense.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. And the whole purpose of the exercise, actually, of the mask, and even though they're not as effective as they say they are, was that if I was infected, I would reduce transmission to you. That was the purpose of that exercise. And, yeah, you know, with large particles and sneezes, maybe it reduces the velocity of viruses spreading around, but it's certainly not a perfect fail-safe mechanism by far.
Yeah, Tom, my biggest concern here, I think, overall, is we live in such a divisive country right now. And and here we go. I mean, we have Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives. I can go, you know, X, Y, and Z. And now we have the VPs and the UVPs, the vaccinated people and the unvaccinated people. I mean, it's like the last thing our society needs is any sort of like, oh, it's those people. Oh, it's those people. I mean, really? Really, Tom? I mean, I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. We live in a very polarized, politically divisive time. and the vaccine, and whether you got vaccinated, whether you wear a mask, people scolding you, whatever. But again, I'm going to be a little bit cynical. I'm going to take off my science hat and be the cynical analyst here, political analyst. And I think this is part of the Biden, President Biden's strategy, is to throw this sort of mask, unvaccinated mask. Everybody talks about it. It creates discussion in social media, and it stops discussion about President Biden's immense failures, like at the border, or with inflation starting to soar, or with former gas lines in the Southeast. When Americans are talking about mask, not mask, virus, not virus, they're going to try to milk the coronavirus to the nth degree because they don't want people to talk about Hamas terrorists firing rockets unlimited into Israel, among other things.
No, that's a great point. I mean, this is an 8-minute segment, so we've just spent 8 minutes not talking about X, Y, and Z, for
Correct.
Sure. Yeah, and by the way, we had Congresswoman Mary Miller on from Illinois at the top of the show, and she was talking about how fear is such a motivating factor for people in an unhealthy way.
It really is, and that's another problem with the science. In my early part of my career, I spent many years in the lab, and my biggest concern here is that Fauci, CDC, they really destroyed the credibility of scientists. Mm. It's now not the boy who cried wolf, it's Fauci who cried wolf. Nobody's going to believe the man. Everybody's got Fauci burnout. They're tired of seeing him on TV. Every time he gets up there, it's a different message. But the conclusion is, from the vast majority of Americans, I fear, is we can't believe anybody. We're just going to do it on our gut. And God forbid, if some other pandemic pops up, no one's going to believe the government scientists. And I think that's the bigger problem going forward.
No, I think you're 100% correct on that. All right, Dr. Tom Borelli, great to have you on your water cooler debut. I wish I could tell you we could give you a parting gift like turtle wax, but we got nothing. I wish I had something. Next time. All right, Madison, can we get some turtle wax? All right, we'll work on it. All right, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
But he's absolutely right. I mean, look, this is the problem that where we're going in a society. And I got to tell you, I'm still confused about everything. But are you confused? Maybe you're not confused. You know, people are not going to get vaccinated because they don't trust the government. They don't trust the science and Fauci and all that stuff. Back in a moment.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the water cooler, everybody. It is time for the Real America Voice Save America Freedom Tour. Here we go. By the way, who's driving that bus? Were they speeding? All right, sorry, separate issue. Let's go to Amanda Head, Real America's Voice correspondent there in the City of Brotherly Love. Amanda, what is happening in Philadelphia?
Hi, David. Yes, as you can see, I am standing in the back of Independence Hall, a very important place in history. But you and the Congresswoman were just talking about the founding of our country, and she talked about fear. And you think about the founding of our country and the courage that it took for those 56 men to draft the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, courage is not necessarily the absence of fear. It is overcoming fear. And for those 56 men in the sweltering heat of June and July of 1776, they had to put their fear aside, the fear of being charged with treason, of being beheaded or hanged. And they had to declare independence. They felt like there were punitive taxes imposed upon them. That was just one of 75 charges listed in basically what was the charging document, the Declaration of Independence, that was drafted in this building right behind me. Articles of Confederation were also drafted here. And then 11 years later, You had the Constitution that was drafted, edited, and then presented to the people here. So it's a very important place in American history. On the other side, we've got the Liberty Bell. We are surrounded by history. Carpenter's Hall, the President's House, or Graff House, is just on the other side of this building. That is where President Washington and President John Adams lived during their presidencies. So we are having a great time here. We've got a special tomorrow at 2 p.m. live for 1 hour, live here from Philadelphia, then on to Liberty University, and then on to Cookeville, Tennessee.
All right. Amanda Head, great stuff. We will check back with you tomorrow and later this week. Give our best to everybody there, and stay safe. Appreciate you. Thank you.
I shall. Thank you, David.
Amanda Head there in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. By the way, I don't like the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't care if you're from Philadelphia. And I said it. I'm a Washington Capitals fan. And if it's the Capitals versus the Flyers. Oh, I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with the Constitution, but it does have something to do with Philadelphia. But once again, here on Real America's Voice, the Save America Freedom Tour this week. Check it out, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, we'll have coverage here on the water cooler as well. We are back in a moment with Anna Perez with an interesting story yet again.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. End of the show. Anna Perez joining us. The regular. That's what I'm going to call you. Decaf regular? No, regular.
Wow.
I'll take that. Regular Anna Perez in the F block.
Thank you.
There it is. So what do you got? What's happening?
So, of course, the infrastructure news that's coming out today is that the White House is going to be meeting with Republicans on the Hill today, this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And basically, they're just going to discuss a few points of contention with the infrastructure bill.
Just a few points.
Just a few. But, you know, the major ones are obviously the price or the cost of it, right, how they're going to pay for it. And then, of course, there's what's in it. Mm-hmm. So right now, the cost that Biden wants to spend on this is over $2 trillion, of course. And, you know, last week, Republicans spoke to the White House. They wanted to spend about $568 billion on this, which kind of has, you know, gone out the wayside. They know that's not going to be possible as far as, you know, being able to negotiate this. So now they're discussing somewhere between up to $800 or $900 billion is what they're willing to compromise on. Mitch McConnell has suggested $800, and Lindsey Graham has suggested he would go as far as $900 billion. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide on. But ultimately, I think the biggest complaint here is what is actually in the infrastructure plan.
Right.
Republicans have criticized it, saying that it's not actually focused on infrastructure, you know, repairing roads, bridges, things like that. Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham has even said he supports, you know, high-speed internet, you know, building that up throughout the nation, which is something that is actually included in Biden's proposal. So that's one thing that a lot of them do agree on. But, you know, you see things like, you know, housing and, you know, racial equality being pushed into environmentalism, all these other things that the Biden administration wants to spend money on. And, you know, that's obviously concerning to a lot of Americans and, you know, conservatives.
Well, I agree. And I think Democrats are going to have a choice here because I think they can take an $800, $900 billion deal, call it infrastructure, which it would be, road, bridges, highways, internet, and call it, you know, say bipartisanship. But they're going to want more. They're going to want like the whole one point, whatever it is, enchilada. They're saying $2 trillion. But I don't know. We'll see if they negotiate something in the middle.
Yeah. And, you know, Nick Ballesy just reported on a story where Marsha Fudge, actually, she's the housing and urban. She's the housing secretary. And she came out and talked about how they're not going to prioritize giving public housing to American citizens. So that means a lot of these resources could be allocated to illegal aliens, which is a whole other issue. I know we've discussed a lot on here, but, you know, it just goes to show that this isn't even going to Americans. So that's another huge concern as well.
Thank you for telling me that. I'm putting this on my 2022 list, a midterm list, and just, you know, chalk that up for Republicans as well. Thanks, Anna. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Tomorrow on the show is going to be a great show. It's not like I have a crystal ball or anything, but if I had a crystal ball, I'd be like, great show.